Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 67.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Lambeth. We'd ask all of our members, as well as our guests in the gallery, to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Lambeth.
Please join me in prayer on this wonderful day that we have to share today. Our Heavenly Father, today we are blessed and we should rejoice. Today we honor and give thanks for one another. Today we praise you and ask for your blessings upon our nation's military, our fire rescue men and women, our police, our sheriffs, and all persons in service professions who put the safety of others above their own. We pray for our leaders at all levels of government, national, state, and local. We pray for those less fortunate, and we pray for those suffering from sickness or illness. No, forgive us, Lord. We should offer our prayer not just for today, but for every day. We should remind ourselves to pause daily to reflect and give thanks for the blessings of life, for the gift of a new day to make a difference in the lives of others, for our families, for our state, and our nation. Every day, we need to simply pray and give thanks for life and what it means to us. And as we look forward to this weekend, we also want to reflect on this Memorial Day to pray for all those brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Bless their memories and their families. In your name we pray, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for May 25th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for May 25th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Introduction of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read. As well as Representative Hall, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report. DRHJR 10499-LG-163, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of Larry D. Hall to the Board of Review. Favorable for introduction.
Clerk will file the joint resolution and assign a number. Representative Hall recognized, send forth additional committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report. House Bill 947, a Great Broadband Expansion Act, favorable.
Calendar without objection, day's calendar, so ordered. Additional committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report. Senate Bill 241, modified utility vehicle definition. Favor House Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavor House Committee Substitute Number 1.
House Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable counter. House Committee Substitute Number 2 will be counter without objection. Day's counter, so ordered. Members of the House have come to order. Chair wants to extend his special courtesies of the floor to a gentleman the Chair has gotten to know for a while and is a good friend of this state. And is my counterpart, the Speaker of the House in Mississippi, Speaker Philip Gunn, who's here with us today, who was visiting North Carolina, came by to see us. So, Speaker Gunn, it's an honor having you with us today. We hope you'll come back, and we know that North Carolina is home of the best barbecue in the world, so let everybody in Mississippi know that. Thank you, sir. Members, this is going to be the plan of business, plan of calendar at this point. The there's going to be a brief recess in just a bit. I know the Republicans are going to need to caucus. I would anticipate that that will be a very short recess, but the chair believes we could probably dispose of the three current bills that are on the calendar, and then we'll come back after caucus. I don't see Representative Reeves, if he could grab me at some point, I'd appreciate it. I'll update him on what we're talking about. With that being said, Representative Pierce, I'm going to come to you in just a minute. Let's go ahead and take care of House Bill 395 first. Clerk will read.
Senate Committee Substitute, Representative Sasser, Potts, Baker, and Bray. House Bill 395, a bill to be entitled Health Information Exchange Deadline Extension and Patient Protection. General Assembly of North Carolina acts.
Gentleman from Stanley, Representative Sasser, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I recommend that the House concur with Senate Committee Substitute 395.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 395. Does the gentleman wish to debate the bill any further? Seeing none, question for the House. Is the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 395? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Hunter, aye. Richardson, aye. Representative White wish to vote. Representative Zachary on the floor. Representative Galliard on the floor. Chair doesn't see those two members. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House does concur. The Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 395. The bill was ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 241, the clerk will read.
Senators Jarvis, Sawyer, and Johnson, Senate Bill 241, a bill to be entitled an act amending motor vehicle laws regulating modified utility vehicles directing the use of certain funds appropriated for the Department of Transportation. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Person, Representative Yarbrough, is recognized to debate the bill.
Okay, this bill comes from our friend Senator Jarvis. He ran one last year to modify utility vehicles to allow them to be used on the streets. Turns out that the restrictions on there only allowed one model, and so the bill modifies what can be allowed on the streets to include several models that are considered safe and can be used. And Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment to this bill.
We are not, the chair's not in possession of the amendment. Is it still being prepared?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let me look at the, tell you what, I see Representative Adcock's light, so why don't I let you send forth the amendment in just a minute and ask Representative call on her. For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
Please recognize, speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thought this might be a good time while we were trying to get that amendment. On behalf of Representatives Von Hathen, Perret, and myself, I'd like you all to give a warm welcome to the mayor of Apex, Jacques Gilbert, who is in the gallery above me. Please give him a warm welcome. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise.
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Well, he's standing up here right now. Representative Yarbrough, do you want to go over and take that question from Representative McNeil? We'll get your amendment loaded up. Representative Yarbrough, yield.
Thank you, Representative Yarbrough. Good explanation of the bill, except for the $943,000 appropriation to the ferry that's on the end of the bill. Could you explain that?
I would like to ask Representative Jones if he would reply to that.
Representative McNeil, the chair, if the gentleman would like to direct the question, I think he heard it, to Representative Jones, the chair will recognize Representative Jones to respond to the question.
That's fine. Just an explanation from whomever.
Because, Representative Mill, thank you for the question. This is the same provision amendment that we had put in House Bill 165. Did not get heard in the Senate in time. It's a time-sensitive issue. The ferry has not been able to sign the lease or needing these monies for the lease. It's not new money. It's not new appropriated money. It's just given direction to use that money to get the lease signed for the ferry.
All right, let's go ahead and take care of the amendment. Representative Yarbrough is recognized to send forth the amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Yarbrough moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 3, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
And this language reflects a bill that we passed a couple weeks ago that allows purchasers of ATVs and UTVs to have them titled. This helps in sales because a lot of people want to have titles in the state to their ATV and UTVs because it also prevents theft. And so as I worked with Senator Jarvis on this, and we put it on this bill since it was being fast-tracked. Thank you.
Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate on the bill is amended. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 241 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 105, having voted in the affirmative and 5 in the negative, Senate Bill 241 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Senator Nocklin and that.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 241 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 241, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate for concurrence. Representative Pierce is recognized to submit a representative statement that will be read upon adjournment and spread across the journal. And at this time, the gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, taking time to do this today. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, those who are with us today, I want to recognize a young lady in our midst today, Miss Annie Hosteller Register, who is celebrating 90 years of life. She was a graduate of Duke University and taught English and Latin in the Hope County public school systems in Rayford, North Carolina. Her husband, he's deceased now, but he was fortunate enough to be married to her, and he served in the North Carolina House of Representatives from 1957 to 1962 terms here in the General Assembly. Mrs. Register just really enjoyed her life here in Raleigh, North Carolina. She served with her husband, and she was a member of the Sir Walter Cabinet and so many other civic organizations and state organizations. And even now, she's always up to speed on what's happening in the North Carolina General Assembly. I don't know if she's always pleased with it, but she stays in touch with it. So that's a great thing. So we're just delighted to have her today, Mr. Speaker, and we just thank her for her presence today and her family with her today. If you look behind me, I know the speaker's going to recognize me, but she's behind me standing up there, sitting up there with her family. So, Mr. Speaker, this time, I know you'll take care. We're just glad to have you today, Ms. Register, and may God bless you. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Ms. Register, we appreciate you being with us today, and I think she's also joined by Dorcas Douglas and Henry Hostetler as well. Thank you all for being with us. Hope you enjoy your birthday, and honored to have you with us today. For what purpose, gentlemen from Scotland, Representative Pierce Rice.
I hope I didn't take your job over. I know you'd recognize them. I hope that was all right.
I know you were just excited. It's okay. It's all good. We're all glad you were here with us today. Thank you very much. Couple of other recognitions. On motion of the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mick Tobin, who will be shadowing Representative McNeely for the next 2 days. Mick, where are you? Up here on the left. Thanks for being with us. Please join me in welcoming him with us today. On motion of the lady from Wake, Representative Perret, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Jack Gilbert, who is the mayor of the town of Apex. Mayor Gilbert, where are you? We want to recognize you up here on the left. Thanks for being with us today as well. On motion of the gentleman from Mecklenburg County, Representative Bradford, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Huntersville Mayor John Annarella. Mayor Annarella, if you'd stand. Thanks. Glad to have you with us as well. On motion of the members from Cumberland County, Representatives Wheatley, Soka, Lucas, and Richardson, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. J.C. Basnight, who is the former Vice President for Academic and Student Affairs at Fayetteville Technical Community College and was later Superintendent of Northwood Temple Academy in Fayetteville. Joining him also is his wife, Jill, who's a retired teacher from Cumberland County School System, and their grandson, Wesley Colvin, who's a fourth grader at Soteria Academy. Would y'all please stand? Thanks for being with us today. And on motion from the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Brockman, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to his sister, Andrea, who's also joined with his nephews, Reginald and Keontae. Would y'all stand as well? Over here on the right. Thanks for being with us. You have a great brother. He works really hard, and I hope he's an uncle who spoils his nephews as well. So if not, let us know. Members, we need to take a brief recess. I'm going to let Representative Hardister make a quick announcement on that. Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, the House Republican Caucus will meet immediately upon recess in room 1228.
And members, we will take up 947 when we come back. We're going to try to make this short. It's 225, so we will, chair is going to put us in recess subject to the standard stipulations until 2:45. Anything further before I hit the gavel on that? All right, seeing nothing, the House is going to stand in recess subject to the standard stipulations till 2:45 p.m. The House will come back to order. Going back to the calendar, House Bill 947. The clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Lambeth, Sane, and Johnson, House Bill 947, a bill to be entitled the Great Broadband Expansion Act, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The House will come to order. The gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Long before most of us even heard of the word COVID, we were aware of the problems of broadband access in North Carolina. Since passage of the first great broadband legislation in 2018, we've been making steady progress toward filling in those access gaps. With about $64 million, we've brought down a match of about $100 million allocated so far. As it did so many issues, COVID really magnified the problem a thousandfold, as nearly everyone for a time came to rely on internet access for basic functions, such as going to work, attending school, accessing medical treatment, and even participating in worship services. If there had been any doubt, it became crystal clear that broadband access is as important as roads and schools in people's lives. In other words, broadband is essential infrastructure. COVID has also presented us with a huge opportunity to do something about the problem. It has resulted in hundreds of millions of dollars being made available to us through the American Rescue Plan passed by Congress back in March. That's why we've proposed the Great Broadband Expansion Act of 2021, which provides $750 million in grants over the next few years and will really connect all of North Carolinians to high-speed internet access. With this $750 million, it will draw down $1.4 billion worth of infrastructure. This legislation does this by first expanding access to the original GREAT program, under which an internet provider leads a partnership team for grant funding from across the state for projects in unserved and underserved rural areas. Secondly, it creates a new program, which we're calling the Completing Access to Broadband, or CAB, program, that would let counties take the lead in determining where those broadband access gaps or donut holes are, and then issuing a request for a proposal for a provider to serve those donut holes. The CAB program would open up all 100 counties, and so we can start work on broadband in all 100 counties. As soon as we pass this bill, we can begin that by the end of the year. And they would receive assistance from North Carolina Department of Information Technology, the broadband office, to make sure they weren't duplicating or overlapping any areas with the GREAT or other federally funded projects. All of the state matching dollars would come from the ARP funds. The county partners with the state to use their ARP funds so that we can leverage and extend and really tackle this broadband problem. This is a phenomenal opportunity to cover the state with high-speed broadband. I really can think of no better way to spend this field of money. The greatest legacy of the New Deal is the hard infrastructure that was built. The dams, bridges, airports, roads, and schools that we can still see across our state today. People believe North Carolina plays a vital role in building the infrastructure that makes it possible for them to work and learn and live and worship. In the 21st century, that means reliable broadband, internet access. It may not be as visible as the Blue Ridge Parkway or the Charlotte Airport, which both began as New Deal projects, but it is as every bit as important to the health of our economy and the lives of North Carolina citizens. Long after we've taken off our mask and gone back to our pre-COVID way of life, I believe the people will be benefiting from the investment in broadband we can make if we pass House Bill 947, the Great Broadband Expansion Act. Thank you, and I ask for your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a couple of questions, if I may.
Representative Autry, does the gentleman yield to a series of questions?
I do.
And so what we'll do is the gentleman's welcome just to ask a series of questions, and Representative Autry, if you get tired of answering, just let the chair know.
I will.
There are just a couple of questions, Representative Arpin. Thank you, sir, for bringing this bill forward. I think it does a lot of good for North Carolinians that are hamstrung by their lack of access to broadband internet service. First of all, sir, do we have any idea if the corporations challenge parameter of all the great bills that we've already passed, how they challenge the project? Will that slow down any projects for some of these counties?
I don't believe so. We are in this bill modifying the challenge provision so that you don't have superfluous challenges.
Thank you, sir. Second question is, once 947 becomes law, do we have any numbers as to how many North Carolinians will continue to not have access to broadband internet?
I don't have those numbers because it is all speculative, but it will be a significant jump. Just to put it in perspective, we passed $15 million a year going into that. And as I've said earlier, we got about $64 million so far. On an order of magnitude, $15 million a year going into this. This is $750 million. That's 50 times what this will be. And so we can really cover broadband access. You've got the federal RDOF programs and those areas that are covered. Then we've got the great grant areas. And then what we're doing with the cab of the completing access are covering the donut holes in between. So we believe that we're going to make a significant dent in the access to broadband and increase the speeds and technologies and along the way.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Mr. Speaker, may I debate the bill?
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, 947 does a lot of great work in helping advance the effort of getting broadband to every home. I'm concerned about no provisions in there for providing equity or internet education, you know, making people competent for using the internet. And then what the affordability is going to be like when the federal money that's going to be used to help cover the cost of this services dries up, then what do those poor families and households do to continue to pay for that internet access? I have pretty good internet access, but it still costs me over $80 a month. And that's something that does have an impact in my household's final monthly statement. So I will be voting for this bill, but I think we're still leaving a lot of people unserved throughout North Carolina. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Hurtado, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 947 is a good bill. I'm excited to see us taking steps as a General Assembly to making sure that we expand broadband to every corner of North Carolina. As Representative Arp said, this is a bill that is focused on infrastructure. And we've heard the merits of what this bill will do for North Carolinians across the state. We know this bill works for providers, but I think the question we should be asking ourselves as well is, does this work for families? When I speak to my constituents in Alamance County, we know that folks are concerned about access to internet so they can get online to get to school whenever they're working on online remote learning. We know they use broadband in order to get to their healthcare appointments now because of the innovations in telehealth. We know that this is an important part of the future of North Carolina and our nation. But the questions I also hear are about not just access to broadband, but affordability. And when we think about what it's going to take to make sure that every family in North Carolina has access to broadband, affordability isn't addressed in this bill, and I urge my colleagues to continue thinking about what this looks moving forward for us in the next few weeks. We know that Governor Cooper has proposed an ambitious plan similar to this that also addresses the needs of affordability for North Carolinians, over $400 million. And so I would urge us all to continue those conversations because we know that infrastructure is just one part of the conversation. Thank you.
Members, the chair is going to direct that the previous bills that were passed by the House be sent by a special messenger, the one to the Senate and then the one to the governor. For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
And I want to say also what's already been repeated by Representatives Autry and Hurtado about it's a good bill. We're happy with the bill. I want to tell Representative Arp how much I appreciate our discussion about it, and I know that we still got more bills to go. And so this is less about the direction that he knows is going, but just reminding everyone else here the same thing. This is going to be a multifaceted problem. It's a problem that most all of us have. 80% of us here have this issue with broadband, and so one step is what we've done, and this is an ambitious investment in infrastructure, and I'm really proud to see that. I mean, there is no complaint whatsoever. Now we've got to get it so we can get it in people's houses, because I would tell you that most of the companies, the last thing that they care about is having an opportunity to provide broadband and nobody can get it. And so that's what we've got to focus on next. And this isn't about giving anybody anything, but making sure that we work out a system by using the great grants, by using all this other money that we've got coming in to get this done. So thanks again for this first step, and we're looking forward to supporting the bill.
And motion on members of Representative Turner of Buncombe County and Representative Farkas of Pitt County. The chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the leadership of the Young Democrats of North Carolina who are with us. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. Glad to have you with us. What purpose? The gentleman from Union, Representative Arprise.
Speak to the bill the last time.
Gentleman has the floor. Debate the bill second time.
I really appreciate the comments and so forth. This is critical at this stage in time because North Carolina is a leader. We need to get out in front. $750 million in the broadband investment is important to do that. Because every state in the nation is going to be going after the same work crews, the same fiber, the same thing. And so it's important to do this infrastructure part first and get out in front and have those matching capital dollars come to North Carolina. The whole point of the great program, the great grants, was to normalize the cost in less rural area and in rural areas so that broadband can be expanded there. In terms of direct price support for monthly bills, the federal government is going out with a program, and we want to see what that does first in terms of helping meet the affordability aspect in terms of direct payment subsidies. And so we're going to watch and see what that does first, I think, is a smart move. And then we can continue on our discussion. But I thank you for your support for this broad and bold step from North Carolina.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 947 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Hawkins wish to vote? Chair hasn't seen Representative Goward. Chair's assuming he is not present today. So, clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 947 passes at second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose, gentleman from Orange? Representative Meyer, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I speak to the bill?
Gentleman's recognized. Debate the bill.
Did y'all really think we were going to let Representative Arp get away with talking about this without teasing him about spending all this Arp money? $750 million from Arp. We appreciate it, Representative Arp. We know that you will never be a tax and spend liberal, but taking this money from the Democrats in Congress and putting it to the good of North Carolina, we appreciate your hard work.
Representative Meyer, we've known he's been a liberal all along. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 947 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 947, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate by special messenger. Members, I hate to disappoint you, but we've reached the end of our calendar. And do want to inform you kind of where we stand at this point on session. This, of course, being we're at that stage of the year where we have exhausted most of the standalone House bills, and we are now going to move to the process of taking up Senate bills. But we're also wanting to allow the Senate an opportunity to fully take up a number of House bills in that process. We also are in the process of budget negotiations. We were hoping that we would have received the budget from the Senate about 2 weeks ago, so it's gotten lost in the mail or something right now, but I'm sure it's going to show up sooner or later. There may be a special messenger wandering around the building somewhere still trying to find their way here, but in any event, we're hoping that a budget will be here, will be forthcoming. What I can tell you is that there are very serious conversations happening to try to negotiate as much as can be right now. But very clearly there are some differences, but we are working through those. And so I have no doubt that we will get there. It just may take a couple of weeks longer than what we would perhaps like. So next week, the chair has looked at the calendars, consulted with the rules chair as well. I only see a need for votes on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. With it being a holiday weekend, particularly Memorial Day, the chair does not believe there will be objection to having a long weekend. And so members can count on no votes tomorrow, no votes Friday, of course no votes on the weekend, and no votes Monday or Tuesday. So but I would anticipate votes Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Chair has authorized committees to meet on Tuesday if they would like, but may allow committees to meet on Wednesday. We've had a good process with both caucuses of adding bills to the calendar to get those done. The chair would ask would ask leave, given this, that without objection, to authorize the clerk to release Tuesday's calendar before 3 p.m. on Friday, so that can be done. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that is so ordered. But that is the plan of business. So would ask, we'll have at least two members of the majority party here. Representative Reeves, if you can ensure we have one member of the minority party here tomorrow and Friday. We will need a Friday session so that we do not have to meet on Monday. The chair wants to be able to give the staff an opportunity to be off on Monday. So constitutionally, we have to have a pro forma session. So there will be no vote sessions Thursday, Friday, and then Tuesday with voting sessions to resume Wednesday and Thursday of next week. With that, notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor. The House will remain in order. The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Regulatory Reform Committee will be meeting again someday, but not tomorrow. Look for an announcement regarding meeting on next Thursday at 11 a.m. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, a lot has changed since 1968. One thing that has not changed since 1968 is my mom and dad are still married. So I hope you'll join me in wishing Wayne and Carolyn Hardister a happy 53rd wedding anniversary.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
The House Area Appropriations Chairs will meet in room 643. As soon as you can get over there, we only need about 15 minutes to give you a quick update on the budget so we can get you going next week.
Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, May 27th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Dixon, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, May 27th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
A representative statement honoring Ann Hulstadter Register. Whereas on May 16, 2021, Ann Hulstadter Register celebrated her 90th birthday. She graduated from Duke University and taught English and Latin in the Hope County School Public Schools in Rayford. And whereas Ann was married to Charles A. Charlie Hulstadter for 50 years, and they were parents of three children, Anderson, Henry, and Dorcas. Between 1957 and 1960, Charlie served in the House of Representatives for two terms, representing the citizens of Hope County. In 1969, then Secretary of State Thad Ure appointed Charlie to serve as Chief Enrolling Clerk for the General Assembly. And whereas during Charlie's tenure in the General Assembly, Ann joined the Sir Walter Cabinet, a civic organization open to spouses of state officials and committed to the good of the state of North Carolina and its citizens, where she worked alongside other members to try to improve the quality of life of legislators and their families during legislative sessions and to advance the cultural, economic, and educational welfare of the Senate. And whereas Representative Hulstadter died on June 9th, 2003, and whereas Ann's interest in North Carolina history led her to join the North Carolina Museum of History Associates, of which she served as chair of the Hope Area Regional Board of Directors. And whereas Ann has maintained her lifelong interest in politics and even now regularly monitoring news from the legislature while she lives a quiet and peaceful life with her husband, Thomas Register, her children, and several loving grandchildren. Now, therefore, Ann Hulstadter Register deserves to be recognized and applauded for her service as a retired teacher and mentor and for her participation in activities to better North Carolina. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the following foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 26th day of May 2021, submitted by Representative Garland Pierce, House Principal Clerk James White.
On motion of the chair, House Bill 500, short title, Disaster Relief and Mitigation Act of 2021. The bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Finance, recommitted to the Committee on Environment. The zero referrals to appropriations and rules remain. House Bill 680, short title, Reenact Qualified Business Venture Credit. That bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Finance, recommitted to the Committee on Commerce, and the zero referral to rules remains.